أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، وصلى الله على سيدنا محمد وآله الطاهرين. اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد. In verse number 21 we read يا أيها الناس اعبدوا ربكم الذي خلقكم والذين من قبلكم لعلكم تتقون. O mankind, worship your Lord who created you and those who were before you so that you may be God-weary. Now, we mentioned that وَعْبُدُوا رَبَّكُمْ, your sustainer, الَّذِي خَلَقَكُمْ, the one who created you. And this actually emphasizes the idea of why we have to worship him. He has created us and he sustains us. And then here there is more details in verse number 22. الَّذِي جَعَلَ لَكُمُ الْأَرْضَ فِرَاشًا وَالسَّمَاءَ بِنَاءً وَأَنْزَلَ مِنَ السَّمَاءِ مَاءً فَأَخْرَجَ بِهِ مِنَ الثَّمَرَاتِ رِزْقًا لَكُمْ فَلَا تَجْعَلُوا لِلَّهِ أَنْدَادًا وَأَنْتُمْ تَعْلَمُونَ. He who made the earth a place of repose and rest for you, and the sky a canopy. And he sends down water from the sky, and with it he brings forth crops for your sustenance. So do not set up equals to Allah while you know. Now, here in this verse, things are mentioned which are sub-branch of rububiyyah. He said that he created you and he is your sustainer. Now, how does he sustain you? He is actually elaborating in this verse that he actually made the earth such and such and the sky such and such and sends rain down. Things that we take for granted all the time. You know, we live on this earth and we take it for granted. We don't know how many millions of factors should work together to make the earth a place that, on which we can live, and to make the whole universe a place in which the earth can persist and continue its existence. Now, الَّذِي جَعَلَ لَكُمُ الْأَرْضَ فِرَاشًا. Firash is a place where you, of course, rest, where you have your comfort, and that is how the earth is. There is a hadith from Imam Zainul Abidin alayhi salam, Imam Sajjad alayhi salam, explaining this, جَعَلَ لَكُمُ الْأَرْضَ فِرَاشًا, the earth is a place of rest for you. He says that, first of all, it is very much pleasant for your nature. I mean, our nature needs oxygen, is there a certain amount of air pressure, which is quite suitable for our body, our living. So it is muwafaqatan la'ajsamikum. Your bodies, your cells, your different parts of your body are quite going well on everything which is created on the earth. The temperature of the earth is as such that you can live very easily in winter and in summer. And the ground is not so hard that you cannot bury your dead. You cannot do farming. If it was so hard, like rocks, you couldn't do anything. And it's not so soft that you cannot walk on it, and just something like water or something else. And many other things that he mentions, saying that you actually are taking all these things for granted, that they have to be there. All these, of course, are just for our general living on the earth, not individually what Allah provides for us. So, الَّذِي جَعَلَ لَكُمُ الْأَرْضَ فِرَاشًا وَالسَّمَاءَ بِنَاءً. Now, sama here may mean two things. I have mentioned that sama or sky in the Quran has several meanings. One meaning is just the sky that includes all the planets and such things. And it is a bina' construction. Why is a construction? Because all the constellations of stars are interwoven into each other as it is a sort of built construction. And if one of these constellations are not there, then the whole construction would fall down. As we have in Surah Zariyat, وَالسَّمَاءِ ذَاتِ الْحُبُكِ, I swear by the sky, by the sky which has a, which is knitted together. All these stars with the type of gravity that they have, it's just as like it is interwoven into each other. So it's a construction. So one meaning is that وَالسَّمَاءِ بِنَا, the whole universe that you see around you is just like a construction on your head. The other meaning of sama is the earth atmosphere, which is just like a sort of ceiling on us, protecting us from all celestial sort of things which may fall upon the earth. So sama is a bina for us, was sama a bina, and wa anzala min as-sama'i ma'a, and he sent down water from the heaven. It's very interesting. Sometimes you see that the oceans are there, and we need the water of the oceans. Of course, we cannot use it because it's so salty and because it's far away. I mean, you cannot always go to the oceans and take water. What Allah does, he takes water from the oceans and brings it for us, in a sense, sweetens it, and sends it upon us. It's a very beautiful system working, but again, you know, we take it for granted that yes, it should come. The water should come from the oceans, it goes to different areas, and it comes down. And again, Imam Zainul Abidin alayhi salam, in the same explanation, continues. He says that you think that this water which exists in the oceans, you think Allah takes it to the top of the mountains and pour it down there. And he doesn't pour it down all at once, just like opening a tap, and because then it destroys everything. It comes drop by drop in a way that it's so smooth, so soft. You would see that it comes in that way. If it's so high in pressure coming down, it destroys everything. If it is so little, it doesn't actually benefit anything. It comes with measure. And sometimes, of course, it doesn't come. And sometimes it comes out of measure. And you see what will happen. If it doesn't come, or if it comes out of measure, you will see what will happen. We have floodings and such things. And that's why in Surah Furqan, you want to take this? In Surah Furqan, we have this verse, very beautifully Allah mentioning that, وَلَقَدْ, when it talks about the rain, وَلَقَدْ صَرَّفْنَاهُ بَيْنَهُمْ لِيَذَّكَّرُوا, we alternate it between them, so that sometimes we pour a great amount, sometimes it doesn't come, so that they think that this water, which is the material of our subsistence, we just take it for granted. Of course, when it happens, for example, like that, when it doesn't come, or when it comes out of measure, we say, God, where are you? Why you do this? You see, because we assume that it should always come in measure, nicely, smoothly. We take it for granted. And sometimes that Allah wants us to think about it, we complain. And of course, the different things which, different benefits of this water is not something which is unknown to us. So, أنزل من السماء ماء فأخرج به من الثمرات رزقا لكم. Look how many different types of crops and fruits come out of this earth, which is a place of your comfort, from this water which we send. Now, you see all these things, and you know that this is done by whom and who is doing all these things, if you ponder a little bit. As I said, this is a detailed explanation of Rabbukum, your sustainer. How does he sustain you? فَلَا تَجْعَلُوا لِلَّهِ أَنْدَادًا وَأَنْتُمْ تَعْلَمُونَ. So do not make equals to Allah. while you know. Now, andad is the plural of ned. Ned is an equal who's opposed to the other equal. So it's not just any equal. Two equals which are opposed to each other are ned. Andad, neddain, the two of them are neddain. So لا تجعلوا لله أندادا means do not assume for God equals who are opposed to him. Now, what one may say that no one actually assumes ned for Allah in the sense that someone who's equal to him and opposed to him. Now, even the mushrikun, the polytheists in Arabia, although they believed in idols, however, they did not believe that these idols oppose Allah. They believe that Allah is the creator of everything and the creator of idols, of course, the creator of those highly stationed beings, which were symbolized by the idols, of course. The idols were just symbols of those things. They were created by Allah, but Allah had delegated the affairs to them. So they didn't think that they are andad for Allah. They are opposed to God. They thought that هؤلاء شفعاؤنا عند الله. These intercede for us with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now, the point is that if that is the case, why Allah here says فَلَا تَجْعَلُوا لِلَّهِ أَنْدَادًا equals who are opposed to him. The exegetes explain here that anyone you think that has any influence in this world besides God, anything delegated completely to him independently, and they can do it independently, then actually you have put someone in opposition of Allah. You have limited the control of Allah into the affairs, and therefore these are going to be andad for Allah. وَلَا تَجْعَلُوا لِلَّهِ أَنْدَادًا وَأَنْتُمْ تَعْلَمُونَ And you know that these idols cannot be ned for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَإِن كُنْتُمْ The following verse. وَإِن كُنْتُمْ فِي رَيْبٍ مِمَّا نَزَّلْنَا عَلَىٰ عَبْدِنَا فَأْتُوا بِسُورَةٍ مِّن مِثْلِهِ وَدْءُوا شُهَدَاءَكُمْ مِن دُونِ اللَّهِ إِن كُنْتُمْ صَادِقِينَ And if you are in doubt concerning what we have sent down to our servants, Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, then bring a surah like it and invoke your helpers beside Allah, should you be truthful. Now, all these things which are explained here in details, and we, of course, should take heed of what Allah says. Now, if you doubt these are words of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, if you doubt what we have sent down to our servant is not from us, or servant is my servant is claiming that it is accusing me of sending these down, then you bring one surah like it. Now, this is the first verse in the Quran, in the present order, which makes this challenge, tahaddi, challenge that this Quran is a miracle in its style, in its literature, and if you doubt it, okay, produce something like it. Produce something like this Quran. If you doubt this Quran is from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now, let's look into the details of the verse, number 23. وَإِن كُنْتُمْ فِي رَيْبٍ Rayb is a doubt which is agitating, as we mentioned before, not any doubt, a doubt which somehow shadows the comfort and of the heart and the truth, which makes a person to be agitated all the time. إن كنتم في ريب مما نزلنا على عبدنا What we have sent down to our servant. Now, first of all, the verse makes clear the position of the prophet. This prophet has nothing of himself. He's just a slave, so to speak. Abd, someone who is bound to someone else. He's just that, nothing more than that. And the place of the prophet is very clearly mentioned in this verse. Secondly, it says nazzalna. Now, you know that we have two terms for this descent of the Quran, nazzalna and anzalna. Inna anzalnahu fi laylatil qadr, which comes with inzal. Nazzalna ala abdina means tanzil. Usually the exegetes say that these two denotes two different types of descent. Anzalna means a sudden, all at once sort of descent of the Quran, which is the descent of the Quran from its high place to Al-Lawhul Mahfuz or to Al-Baytul Ma'mur, where Jibreel can receive it. Otherwise, even it's so high with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Jibreel cannot receive it from there. So it comes down there, and then from there, Jibreel reads out and bring it to the Prophet on the order of Allah gradually. So they say Inzal is that sudden, all of a sudden and all at once revelation from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to Baytul Ma'mur or to Al-Lawhul Mahfuz. And from there, it is taken by Jibreel. Tanzil is the second process, is when Jibreel takes it and gradually brings it down to the heart of the Prophet. Nazala bih ar-ruh al-amin ala qalbik litakuna min al-mundharin. Ruh al-amin, who is Jibreel, brings this down to your heart so that you are one of the warners. So this is the difference between inzal and tanzil. Now, tanzil, therefore, is a gradual revelation. It's not always like that. Sometimes tanzil is used in sudden revelation, as in Surah Furqan, وَقَالَ الَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا لَوْلَا نُزِّلَ عَلَيْهِ هَذَا الْقُرْآنُ جُمْلَةً وَاحِدَةً. Why this Quran doesn't come down to him all at once? So tanzil is used there, but of course there is a very delicate meaning there, which I don't want to mention it. Tentatively, we take it for granted that tanzil is for gradual revelation and inzal is for sudden revelation. Now, the point is, إِن كُنْتُمْ فِي رَيْبٍ مِمَّا نَزَّلْنَا عَلَىٰ عَبْدِنَا. Usually, the mushrikeen used to say that if this book is from God, why it doesn't come all at once? وَقَالُوا لَوْلَا نُزَّلَ عَلَيْهِ هَذَا الْقُرْآنِ جُمْلَةً وَاحِدَةً. He is not an author to write this book gradually. He is not a poet to compose his poetry gradually. Because we never can, of course, produce a book suddenly at once. I mean, we have to write it gradually, even if we have a very sharp mind and we can write a book right away from our memory and our mind, we need time to write it down, isn't it? For a month or 2 months at least to write something from mind. Now, if you want to do research, then it takes years. Now, the kuffar were saying that if this book is from God, so why do you give it to us piecemeal? Why the Quran doesn't come all at once? And it was an argument. وَلَن نُؤْمِنَ لِرُقِيِّكَ, as we have in Surah Isra. We believe in you if you do certain things. One of them, أَوْتَرْقَ فِي السَّمَعَ. You fly in the heaven, in the skies. You go to the heaven. وَلَن نُؤْمِنَ لِرُقِيِّكَ, and we do not believe in your ascent. حَتَّى تُنَزِّلَ عَلَيْنَا كِتَابًا نَقْرَأُهُ. Until you bring us a book so that we could read it all at once. Now, so the doubt is here that why you compose this book gradually, so to speak? Why don't you bring it all at once to us from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Now, in several places of the Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions that even if we give them a book like that, they are not going to believe in it. Even if you fly in the sky, they are not going to believe. وَلَوْ أَنَّ قُرْآنًا سُيِّرَتْ بِهِ الْأَرْضُ سُيِّرَتْ بِهِ الْجِبَالُ أَوْ قُطِّعَتْ بِهِ الْأَرْضُ أَوْ كُلَّمَ بِهِ الْمَوْتَى. If you give a book, if we give a book to you, that by that book you could travel without needing time or anything, if you could actually take the mountains from its place, if you could give life to the dead with the book that we give you, they would not believe in you. If they wanted to believe in you, they believe in the message. They don't need such miracles. Now, here, to actually reply to this objection, why it comes gradually, what, why not all at once, I tell you, if you haven't, you have, if you have any doubts about this Tanzil, which is coming gradually, then bring one surah like it, one surah like this Quran. If you say that you are making it from your own mind because you are giving it to us piecemeal and gradually, then make one surah like this. So the idea of Tanzil was always a problematic issue for the Prophet, that why it comes in this way. And in Surah Furqan, Allah gives another reply. كَذَلِكَ لِنُثَبِّتَ بِهِ فُؤَادَكَ وَرَتَّلْنَاهُ تَرْتِيلًا. We want to strengthen your heart, establish your heart in this, and of course the hearts of the believer. Now, another reason why the Quran comes piecemeal and gradually, not all at once, because it is not a sort of preaching which is detached from our life. And therefore it should come down as the history unfolds at the time of the Prophet, peace be upon him. It should come based on what happens during the time of the Prophet, peace be upon him, so that things are elaborated, clarified for us. And therefore, it cannot come all at once. If it comes all at once, it is just a sort of very abstract preaching which we may not understand at all. So this is how it should come down. However, if you doubt, then bring one surah like it. فَأْتُوا بِسُورَةٍ مِنْ مِثْلِ. Surah is, of course, one chapter of the Quran. And here, mentioning that فَأْتُوا بِسُورَةٍ مِنْ مِثْلِهِ indicates that the surahs of the Quran were actually organized at the time of the Prophet. Because some muhaddithin, especially Sunni muhaddithin, they say that the order of the chapters, surahs of the Quran, also were made at the time of Uthman when they were compiling the Nushatul Imam, the leading version of the Quran, which is rejected by majority of scholars in Ahl Sunnah and, of course, all the scholars in Shia, except some Akhbaris, who reject this. The surahs were organized at the time of the Prophet. Whether the order that we have now of the Quran was also by the instruction of the Prophet or was done at the time of Uthman, that is something that we can argue about. But the order of the surahs certainly were organized at the time of the Prophet, and that's why here and in other places Quran refers to surahs, and we have many traditions from the Prophet. For example, man qara'a surah Yasin, man qara'a surah Taha, whoever recites surah Yasin or surah Taha have such and such tawab, meaning that all these surahs were organized at the time of the Prophet, peace be upon him. Fa'tu bi suratin min mithlihi. Bring one surah min mithli hadha al-Quran. Some people say mithlihi, this pronoun goes back to the Prophet, from someone like the Prophet, because he was illiterate. In a sense, he did not have any previous record of poetry or something like that. But that is, of course, against all other verses of the Quran, which talks about this tahaddi or challenge. So bring a surah from like of this Quran, something like the chapters of this Quran. And what u shuhada'akum, who's the witness that whether the Quran is better or what we have composed is better? Anyone you want, bring as your witness. Anyone who has any sense of literature, any sense of poetry, bring them. You bring your shuhada. I don't say who should judge. You bring your judges. You bring your arbiters to arbitrate for us that whether this is something which is like the Quran. In kuntum sadiqin, if you are truthful, that you doubt it. You see, in kuntum sadiqin, if you are truthful that you doubt it. We know that you do not doubt it. You have no doubt that this is from Allah. You just want to reject because of your kufr. If you are truthful that you have doubt that this is from Allah, then bring something like this. Of course, addressing the kuffar of the time of the Prophet, peace be upon him. In kuntum sadiqeen. And in other places, فَأْتُوا بِكِتَابٍ مِّنْ عِنْدِ اللَّهِ هُوَ أَحْدَى مِنْهُمَا. Now, I'll talk about that later on. Now, when we say, فَأْتُوا بِسُورَةٍ مِّنْ مِثْلِهِ, bring one surah like this, مِّنْ مِثْلَ هَذَا الْقُرْآنِ, one surah like it. It includes shorter surahs as well, isn't it? إِنَّا عَطَيْنَاكَ الْكَوْثَرَ. إنا أعطيناك الكوثر فصل لربك وانهر إن شانئك هو الأبتر. Why is it impossible for some talented poets or talented person of literature to bring something like this? This has been a question since the beginning, that why is it impossible? I mean, this is literature. And literature can have, of course, excellence in its beauty and style, and people may have produced literatures like this, or may be able to produce literature like this. And actually, there was a false prophet at that time, during the time of the prophet, and who lived after the prophet. And then there were wars between Muslims and followers of that false prophet later on, whose name was Musaylama, and he tried actually to bring the same thing, to follow the style. However, he made a fun of himself. For example, he tried to make something like Surah Al-Kawthar. إِنَّا أَعْطَيْنَاكَ الْكَوْثَرَ فَصَلِّ لِرَبِّكَ وَانْهَرْ إِنَّ شَانَاكَ هُوَ الْأَبْتَرِ. He said, إِنَّا أَعْطَيْنَاكَ التُفَّاحَ, we gave you apple. فَصَلِّ لِرَبِّكَ وَارْتَاحَ, so pray for your Lord and be at comfort. وَزَوَّجْنَاكَ السَّجَاهُ, and give you sajah as your wife. And he made a fun of himself, of course. But apart from these people who tried to do certain things in a funny way, because he was not a man of literature, but we can say, isn't it possible that during the history people come in future times who are very talented in literature and bring something like the Quran? Now, the editors say that it is not possible. We haven't seen anyone ever answering to this challenge. Now, the challenge is mainly to the kuffar and mushrikun of the time of the Prophet. And we know, despite their great motivation to somehow oppose the Prophet, they never tried to bring something like the Quran, apparently because they were so much mesmerized and caught by the style, and they imagine it's not possible to bring something like that. Now, there are certain Shia scholars like Sayyid Murtaza Alamul Huda Rahmatullah Alayhi, the brother of the author of Nahjul Balagha, and many Mu'tazili scholars in the Sunni world who believe that it is not impossible for people, for human beings, to create a literature with such a style. It's not impossible. Why they don't do it? Because Allah demotivates them. Now, there are two questions. One question is, why is it impossible to bring a literature which is so beautiful? How can you judge between two different styles of literature, which one is better or which one is worse? And secondly, if that is possible, why people during the history have not produced anything like Quran? Now, they say that theoretically it should not be impossible for people to bring something like Quran, like Surah Kawthar, for example, or Surah Qul Huwa Allahu Ahad. However, Allah, we know that they haven't done it. Why they haven't done it? Because Allah has demotivated them, taken their motivation. And this is what is called the theory of sarfa. Sarfa means to demotivate, to turn away from doing something. Anyhow, why I mentioned this, although those people who believed in sarfa or demotivation have long disappeared and no one else now believes in that, but I mentioned this to bring to your attention that This challenge is a very strange challenge and a very strong challenge, actually. Sometimes the Quran says bring something like this book. Sometimes it brings 10 surahs like this, as we have in Surah Yunus. فَأْتُوا بَأَشْرَ سُوَرٍ in another surah. بَأَشْرَ سُوَرٍ مِثْلِهِ مُفْتَرَيَاتٍ. If you think the Prophet is making this up, okay, you make up 10 surahs like this and bring it. And then it says, bring فَأْتُوا بَسُورَةٍ مِثْلِهِ or فَأْتُوا بَسُورَةٍ مِثْلِهِ as we have in Surah Yunus. Bring one surah. Like, for example, I write a book, and I say, this book, no one can actually match it with anything else. If you can write something like this, and then no one can do it, I say, okay, write 10 chapters like this. And if no one can do it, I say, okay, write one chapter like this. You see, I just give concessions again and again. And the Quran has done this. Bring a book like this. Bring, for example, in Surah Qasas, it says, فَأْتُوا بِكِتَابٍ مِّنْ عِنْدِ اللَّهِ. Bring a book. If you think this is made up, okay, bring a book from Allah, هُوَ أَهْدَى مِنْهُمَا, which is guiding you better than this book and the Torah before it. قُلْ لَإِنِ اجْتَمَعَتِ in Surah Isra, قُلْ لَإِنِ اجْتَمَعَتِ الْإِنْسُ وَالْجِنُّ أَلَا أَنْ يَأْتُوا بِمِثْلِ هَذَا الْقُرْآنِ لَا يَأْتُونَ بِمِثْلِهِ وَلَوْ كَانَ بَعْضُهُمْ لِبَعْضٍ ظَهِيرًا. If jinn and ins come together and want to make something like this Quran, they cannot do it, even if all of them help each other. If they make a teamwork, so to speak, they cannot do it. And then it says, فَأْتُوا بَعَشْرَ سُوَرًا in Surah Hud, مِثْلِهِ مُفْتَرَيَاتٍ, bring 10 chapters like this. And in Surah Yunus, فَأْتُوا بِسُورَةٍ مِثْلِهِ وَدْءُوا مَنِ اسْتَطَعْتُمْ مِنْ دُونِ اللَّهِ. Anyone you seek help beside Allah, anyone, go and seek help from them and bring one chapter like this. Now, as I said, what is that aspect of the Quran which is impossible to imitate? Is it the literature? Is it the content? Is it the spirituality? Usually people say all of them together. However, many scholars say that what the Arabs could not match with this Quran was the style, the literature, because it is not poetry, it is not prose, is something in between, and the meanings which are, of course, contained are very high. And therefore, what we can see from this challenge is that the challenge is still there unanswered. No one has tried to bring something like Quran. I don't know whether you have seen this funny book made by Christians in the name of Quran. They have actually made a mock Quran, actually, and in Arabic with surahs and chapters, and then they all talk about the mistake of Muslims and the Christ being God and such things. And if you read it, you really laugh. The style of the literature and the type that it has been written in. And sometimes you see when you have a, for example, an article in Arabic, when you see a verse of the Quran in that, you can recognize it. This is a different style from just ordinary style of writing. And therefore, whatever this challenge mean, is it literature, is it meaning, is it spirituality, the challenge has remained unanswered, and those who wanted to answer it just made a fun of themselves. Okay, and then verse 24 says, فَإِن لَمْ تَفْعَلُوا, and if you do not do, وَلَن تَفْعَلُوا, and you never ever can do it. Now, this لَن تَفْعَلُوا apparently addresses the future too. No one ever can bring something like this Quran or one chapter like this Quran. فَإِن لَمْ تَفْعَلُوا وَلَن تَفْعَلُوا فَاتَّقُوا النَّارَ الَّتِي وَقُودُهَا النَّاسُ وَالْحِجَارَةُ أُعِدَّتْ لِلْكَافِرِينَ. And if you do not do, and you will not then, you will not do, then beware of the fires whose fuel will be humans and the stones, prepared for the faithless. Now, three things are here in this verse that we have to mention. About لَن تَفْعَلُوا, of course, we discussed. First of all, the fire which burns with a fuel which are humans and the stones. What does that mean? And secondly, what does prepared for the faithless mean? And of course, how stones can be fuel of hell. Inshallah, we'll discuss this in our next session. Wa sallallahu ala Muhammad wa alayhi ta'ala.
Thank you very much, Mr. Sheikh. So it seems the challenge stands now and for future as well.
Inshallah.
You now open the floor for the discussion.
If someone wants to become famous, you can answer this challenge.
Brothers and sisters, anybody volunteering to take up the challenge now? Riyadh? Yeah? Bismillah.
Some time ago, sorry, thank you, Sheikh. That was quite a simple explanation. Two things. One is the Sama, and then Sama has been used in two different connotations, because it has a Sama Bana'un and Sama Ma'un Akhraj. So one is a canopy, and one is that things come from it. So is the sky beyond the canopy given a different name, or is it also called Sama?
No, it's Sama, and there are other meanings to Sama as well. Sama also means the spiritual realm. وَفِي السَّمَاءِ رِزْقُكُمْ وَمَا تُوَعَدُونَ. Whatever you eat and whatever you are promised is in Sama. It comes from the spiritual world. And also the abode of the angels is called Sama. وَمَنْ كَمِمْ مَلَكًا فِي السَّمَاوَاتِ. How many angels in the Samawat? So we have to be very careful when we read a verse. We do not confuse these different meanings of Sama.
So when you say the angels live in the realm, the realm beyond is called Sama. So it could be, it's really the unknown.
And there are seven heavens, so to speak.
That's also
the first heaven of angels, the second heaven of angels, the third level of angels. We shouldn't confuse it with this universe. This universe is just below all those seven heavens.
Correct.
It's the earth of those seven heavens, so to speak.
And now coming to the challenge. The way that in Farsi Rumi explains things, has that in the language of the Farsi-speaking people ever been anywhere close to the prose of the Quran? Are there people that believe that it might stand up?
Of course, Rumi's poetry is not very high in excellence. It's very high in meaning, but not very high in excellence. But one can compare Hafiz, for example. Hafiz is very famous for his poetry being really excellent in terms of literature. But no one ever has thought that this is something that could be compared with the Quran, the tone, the style, and all these things. You know, this is why people have thought that it is demotivation rather than possibility, because they say, how you can you confer, for example, Hafiz with the Quran? How can you come? These are two different styles of literature. But if anyone wants to bring something claiming it is from God, and then bring something like this, I mean, the literature which have come from Hafiz or people like that, or say, for example, from Ibn Fares and other very famous Arab poets, they did not have a claim. If someone claimed, they all said that we are following this Quran, okay? If someone has a claim and wants to claim that this is what I say is from God and bring something like this, then, yeah.
Thank you. Sisters? No, Firoz? Riaz, can you pass the mic to Firoz? Yeah, thank you.
Alaykum as-salam.
I don't know if it's relevant or not, but apparently tomorrow night is the longest night of the year, right? 22nd or 23rd night.
Yeah.
And I was actually talking to somebody, and apparently it's quite meaningful in Iran, which is your country.
It's the first night of winter, actually,
yes,
which is the longest, yeah.
And I just wanted to ask you something. I don't know if it's relevant or not, but I'm told that there's a whole pre-Islamic culture to it. like some rituals about food and whatever. And something that was told to me was very intriguing, and I just want to share, if you could enlighten me with that. And they said that they actually, some people do istikhara, referring to poetry of Hafiz, to see what the future holds. This was something, for me, it was a bit...
You mean tomorrow night they do it, huh?
Yes, yes. Or I was told they do it. I don't know. But yes. This apparently... No, because...
Riyaz yes, they has, do. Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Now, istikhara for us, for some of us, is done by Quran. So I just want to kind of see if you could elaborate or shed some light on this.
Yeah. What they do with the poetry of Hafiz is tafa'ul, not istikhara. And tafa'ul means that let's see what future holds for us, for example. Of course, some people did even istikhara with... or tafa'ul, like to find out what to do rather than what future holds. Because what future holds, you cannot have it with the Quran or with the Hafiz or with anyone else. But Allama Tabatabai was very fond of that, Hafiz, and sometimes actually referred to Hafiz when he wanted to do something. But it is much better, I mean, because when people come together, like tomorrow night, for example, they eat and they drink and they socialize, then they tend to listen to music, to do many, many different things, you know. It's much better to recite Hafiz than doing anything like that. So because Hafiz poetry is a mystical, irfani sort of poetry. And therefore, I don't think there is any harm in that, or even to make tafa'ul with it, there's nothing.
No, I just want to know, what does this tafa'ul mean? I'm just trying to understand.
Tafa'ul means to just let me see what future holds for me, for example. Just like what they do with coffee sort of divination. It's divination, isn't it? Coffee divination or palm reading or something like that. They do it with Hafiz poetry too.
And they actually believe that things, there are answers to that in the future.
They don't actually believe in it, but they like it, you know. It's just a sort of pastime. Yeah.
Thank you for your explanation.
Isn't that kind of shirk?
Why?
No, they sh-
Why? Why should it be shirk? I mean, it's just, let me see.
Okay,
you are now becoming like Saudis, Shaq.
Okay. Okay, sisters? Any sisters? No? Brother?
Thank you. Assalamu alaikum.
Alaykum salam.
Sheikh, this is very, very nice, actually, reading it, but looking at... as you explained it, it, generally as it goes, very thorough. But what I'm interested in to see the read it actually the whole surah from يا أيها الذين أعبدوا ربكم الذي خلقكم والذين من قبلكم بعدكم. All of this is coming out as the surah develops. It just seems like the Prophet has a specific group of people have really has a problem with them, and this comes to the Prophet to guide them. First of all, the surah is coming actually to persuasive. You say, look this sky, look the sama, look the earth. Then, as a reasoning, giving the people reasoning. Then it developing it as a challenge. If you really have any suspicion, try to bring something like this. And he said, you cannot do it anyway, and he never be able to do it. Just I want to see if there is any on this issue, if there was any stories or any, what is the background of this surah to come down on the Prophet. It seems a specific issue here is related to a specific problem. Because at that time during the Prophet, they were actually the kuffar and the people have no knowledge, no actually, this, they weren't really have the argument because this is addressed to really some intellectuals, putting good reason, putting a challenge to them. Was it really, this is to say for people like upper class of the society, was it to the Jews because there were a large community of Jewish there? And what is it, this is in Mecca or Medina when this is, comes up actually? And thank you very much.
Well, Surah Baqarah generally is revealed in Medina, but the exegetes may argue about certain verses like this that addresses the whole humanity and also the challenge. However, the challenge was made in Mecca in other surahs, in Surah Yunus, in Surah Hud, the challenge was made. So apparently this, if we say that this, like the general trend of Surah Baqarah has been revealed in Medina, it says Ayyuhan Nas, because Medina was a multicultural society. We had Jews, we had some Christians, we had Bedouins around Medina who were Mushrikun yet, okay, and the people of Medina who were Muslimun. So it is a general Ya Ayyuhan Nas, and addressing all those. Now, when it says, there is no actually particular occasion of revelation reported for these verses. I looked, there is nothing there saying that, for example, on such and such event these verses were revealed. But the rational flow is this, U'budu Rabbakum. Now, worship your Lord, and then explains who your Lord is, created you and made all these things. And then when he says, U'budu, it means worship the way I tell you, isn't it? The Prophet is saying, worship the way I tell you. And now why? Okay, suppose we believe in our Lord, sustainer, maker, creator, but why should we worship him the way you tell us? And then this verse fits in this context. In kuntum fi raib, if you have doubt that this is from God, then bring something like this. So that, and if you cannot do it, then worship your Lord the way I tell you to worship it. I think this is the way we have to look at it.
Thank you, any sisters? Any brothers? Yeah, Raza.
Alaykum as-salam.
Hello. As far as I know, reading the cup of coffee and trying to read the future سيبطل الأعمال لمدة 40 يوما. Whatever we do from Salah and things will be void for 40 days, which is a lot. I mean, why we should embark on these actions?
No, we never do that. But doing with half is a different thing.
You think so?
Yeah. But even with those things, you see, if you really believe that, if we say that this is a sort of a branch of magic or sihr, as previously people used to place it in that, then of course that's what you say. But if we believe that this is a branch of knowledge, of divination, you know, we have lots of different types of knowledge which is not sihr or magic. And it's not ilmul ghayb also. It's just a type of knowledge. Like, for example, ilmul manaya wal balaya people had, or the type of knowledge that Khizr had. These are not ilmul ghayb. These are different types of knowledge. And if someone has this knowledge, I don't think there should be any problem practicing it, provided not, first of all, making any claim for that, that I am such and such for this knowledge, and also not somehow taking it into the field of magic or sihr, because sihr, certainly, magic is certainly something which invalidates all the amal, okay? But if that is not the case, then, I mean, the Maraji have different views about it. But like, for example, summoning the spirits, Ihzar al-Arwah, for example, they have different views. They say if this is magic, then it's not at all. But they say it's not magic. It's just a sort of knowledge that some people may have, or a gift, a capacity that some people may have. So we have to make things clear for us, which one is which.
Thank you. Sisters, before we go back to brothers. No? Raza?
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah. Thank you so much. When Allah gives His commands, wa yuqimuna as-salata wa atu zakata, kutiba alaykum as-siyam, and so on, there is no challenge. Okay, produce something. Like He says, fa'atu bi thuratin. Now here Allah has given a challenge. Why should Allah need to give a challenge when you could stay, He could have commanded, this is the Quran, this is what I mean, and this is what you should follow.
Because He wants to convince us, first of all, that this is from Him, isn't it?
But when He said, "Kutiba alaykum as-siyam,"
no, first of all, you see,
He doesn't have, He didn't want to convince us. He said you have to pray.
Kutiba alaykum as-siyam is for believers. Okay. As for believers, of course, they're already convinced. You don't need to actually convert the converted, isn't it? When we already are converted to Islam or believed in it, then Allah, of course, speaks in that tone. Kutiba alaykum as-siyam, kutiba alaykum as-salat. But if you are not convinced yet, then he tries to convince us that this is from God. And this is addressed, Ya ayyuhanas, not Ya ayyuhal mu'minun. It never says, Ya ayyuhal mu'minun in kuntum fi raiban, because you are already believed, you have no doubt. But Ya ayyuhanas, O people, if you are in doubt, then bring something like this. So after, of course, they cannot answer the challenge, they have to believe. And when they believe, of course, all those instructions will come.
Would you say this is the first challenge Allah has posed?
No, because this surah is Madani. The first challenge comes in the surahs which are Makki, the surah Yunus, surah Hud, whichever one was the first. But this is actually the last time Allah makes the challenge in the Quran.
Any sisters? No, Sabras?
Asalaamu Alaikum. Sheikh, you just mentioned something right now about spirits. We know human beings and angels and jinns, but where do these come in? I've heard about this before, but what are they? Who are they?
No, I meant souls, human souls, the spirits, human souls.
So why would people summon them? Well, I mean, how does this, what is the background behind it?
I don't know. I have no knowledge of this.
No, but what are they thinking? I mean, we thought people were gone, that's it. They can't come back and do anything.
So not doing anything. They say that these souls live in Barzakh and we may have connections with them in sleep, isn't it? So they say that with certain practice and certain rituals, you can actually make a contact between yourself and a soul which lives in Barzakh, and they can talk to you through a medium or something like that, or through some sort of instrument, for example, they can talk to you. Now, in majority of the cases, when this sort of connection is established, there is no soul there, it's just jinn. They just come and have fun. They actually play the role of the soul that you want to summon, and then they answer you in the way they like. Majority of the cases are like that. They do not summon a soul, they summon a jinn. Or because the jinn are available around us. But it is not impossible to make a contact with a soul who is living in Barzakh, because they are alive there. And sometimes we see them in our dreams. Sometimes people see them while they are awake, if they can just cross this barrier and see them while they are awake. So there is not such impossibility that we cannot establish any contact with them.
Any sisters? Brother? Sheikh, we discussed that regarding the mushriks and shirks, that when they believe that these deities have the powers of their own to fulfill their wishes. Now, similarly, we are, as a Shias, being accused by others, saying that the way we practice, that's why they call us, some of them call us kafir. So similarly, I mean, they cannot enter our minds because we don't know, they don't know whether we don't believe in these things, whatever we do, is that they have the power of their own. We take it as a wasila. So when we think of other people, non-Muslims, and whatever way they practice their religion, we label them as kafirs because we think that they believe in these deities as if they have their powers independently. But in their minds, they may be thinking that they are just taking these things as wasila. So there is no difference between us and them then.
No, there's a very clear difference between worshipping something and asking someone something. It's very different. I mean, in the Quran, mainly yad'una is used synonymous with ya'buduna. So if you call upon someone or something, worshipping them, okay, as your Lord, and then ask them things, that is shirk, of course. But if you think that, for example, I have some money, you come and tell me, can you give me some money? Is this shirk or not? It's not shirk, isn't it? You don't say, Ya Allah, give me some money. And I don't want to ask him because it's shirk, for example. You give me directly. Now, there are some people who have some powers, okay? If it's proved that they have some powers, you go and ask them. People who went and asked Jesus Christ, for example, to be cured by him. He had the power, isn't it? He had the power, and they didn't go and ask, Jesus, can you ask your God to cure us? Said, Jesus, cure us. And they didn't actually think Jesus was God. They thought that he has those powers. So if we think God has given certain things some powers, and we ask them, but we do not worship them, we worship God, this is not shirk. But if we worship them, saying that, yes, of course, this is what they have, independently, we worship you, or even independently. Sometimes we worship people, even if we know that they are not independent. So this is a very fine line. We shouldn't confuse things. What usually some superficial Muslims do is that they confuse between things. For example, وَمَنْ يَدْعُ مَعَ اللَّهِ إِلَهًا آخَرٍ. This dua is means worship. Whoever worships God. Otherwise, we do dua to each other every day. And we ask, for example, إِلْتِمَاسُ dua, please pray for me. And this please pray for me means that I believe that there is something in you which can work for me. And therefore, we have to be careful where to draw the line.
Thank you. Sisters? Any brothers? Firoz, yeah, or...
Sorry. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. You said some people have powers, or, I mean, can people in today's world have powers which can work in a negative manner against somebody else?
Yes,
they would. So, if something, we always say that everything good comes from Allah, and everything negative does not come from Allah. So if I have an enemy and I have some powers, could I affect his living?
Could you affect what?
His living, his day-to-day living.
If you have some powers?
Yeah, I mean, if, like you say, some people have power to affect or to pray for somebody and it works, yeah?
Yeah.
If I have an enemy and I want to cause...
Yes. Many people are doing these things through magic, of course.
Now would you say that... If I had the faith that nothing can harm me except if Allah wills,
yes.
How can this person who has the power to harm me is allowed to do that?
Yes, it's true. Nothing can harm you except if Allah wills. But Allah's will works systematically. So if you take a knife and put it in your heart, it will kill you. And Allah wills that, isn't it? Allah has already willed that if you put a knife into your heart, you die. You can't say, I put this knife in my heart, and if Allah wills, I don't die. No, you die. And those powers are like that. I mean, people kill each other, isn't it? So they have the power to do it. They do it with bullets and bombs. Now, some people do it with certain supernatural relations. They do it like that. They are criminals as those who kill with bullets.
But how can Allah allow that?
Well, Allah is allowing people to kill each other with bullets, isn't it?
But isn't that unfair on the person who's being wronged?
It's very unfair. It's a crime. But do we not commit crimes every day?
Yes, but Allah looks after you and me in the same way, not that just because you have some special powers to harm me. Not, I mean, you personally.
Yeah.
So I just can't reason that.
As I said, you see... Last week, 1,000 people almost were killed in Nigeria without any sin, isn't it?
Right.
Yeah. The followers of Sheikh Zakzaki, all right? Now, those people, did Allah will it or not will it? Did Allah allow them to use their powers or didn't they use their power? They used their power, of course. They had their bullets and guns and such things.
Because they followed Shaitan. And
Absolutely. They followed. So if someone has a supernatural power to do it, it's the same crime, isn't it?
But Allah is more powerful than Shaitan.
Well, of course Allah is more, but this is how he has made this world, that we interact without free wills, okay? we interact with our free wills, and he would not stop us to use our free will, even if we harm each other. Isn't it? We are doing it every day. We are harming each other every day. So he has allowed this, لِيَبْلُوَ بَعْضَكُمْ بِبَعْضٍ, so that some of you are tested by others. And then, of course, the final judgment is something which puts all the right wrongs right.
So if this is happening in life, how can I tackle it?
How can tackle it?
How can I tackle this if something is being done by somebody I know?
Mm-hmm. You better not think about these issues at all. Yeah, because these are such hidden and vicious things, which if you think about them, it just occupies your mind. You just continue your ordinary life, rely on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
Yes, exactly.
That's it.
Much
good. Sisters, if I can go back to breath, any sisters? No? We'll have a couple. Okay. So for Rose, and then we'll have last one.
Hello. Assalamu alaikum. Just to... you mentioned something about andad, which is a plural of nid, right? And you said it was equal and opposite. And almost conceptually, that is very difficult to conceive. Could you just elaborate on that? I mean, I knew you mentioned that some of us have said that anytime you attribute anything other than to Allah, that is what, but I'm a little not clear.
You see, equals, for example, me and you are equals, but sometimes we can be friends, sometimes we can be neutral to each other, sometimes we can be enemies, okay? Now, ned are the equal, which is the enemy. If I am your enemy and we are equals, then I'm your ned, all right? Now, with regards to Allah, Allah can have no ned rationally, isn't it? But because these idols were placed in a position where they could do, where they could play God, then Allah calls them net. It means that you actually equating them with me. And you think that this is not opposition, but it's opposition. If you equate someone like Andar to me, then it's opposition.
Okay, Firon claimed to be God. Firon.
Yes.
Claimed that he was God.
Firuz.
Firon, not me. You know, yes. He claimed to Musa that I'm Lord and I want to go to the sky and see your Lord. Would he fall into that category?
If anyone worshipped him,
yes.
He would have put them as Ned for Allah. Yes, of course.
Then that would fit into that category.
That's
so that means that you're trying to reach that level and claim that divinity or whatever.
Yes.
That. Yeah, okay, thank you.
Thanks. Any sisters? Okay, we'll have a last one from Safraj. Yeah, please, Bismillah.
Yes. Assalamu alaikum. Further to the question he brought over here, it seems patently unfair. There are people out there who use black magic and they can do nasty things. There must be some means for us to protect ourselves, and we can't do it. I mean, for the other example
you
gave...
Can people of Syria protect themselves against all these...
Well, yes, they could. For example, if they used their sense and they were united, then they could...
No. Those people who are caught in the crossfire.
Yes, but we're talking about...
They're just running away, going to Europe, isn't it?
But in a case, in an example, for any other example you give, Allah tells us, look, this is the problem, and you've caused it yourself because you're not united, you're not listening to what I'm saying, you've abandoned my teachings.
Yeah.
It's your fault.
Absolutely.
But in this case...
Absolutely.
In this case,
not everyone who is there abandoned the teachings of Allah, isn't it?
No.
Not everyone.
But they did not know the Amr bil Ma'ruf. Then if we don't do Amr bil Ma'ruf, then we live in a society, the fault was ours as well. Tomorrow
okay,
we cannot say...
You are just putting all the blame on the people themselves there.
In our case as well. But what I'm saying, in this specific case, we have no recourse. There's no particular means we can to defend ourselves. What do
we do? There is recourse. They إِنَّهُ لَيْسَ لَهُ سُلْطَانٌ عَلَى الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا. If you have a strong belief, nothing can actually affect you. Now, it is exactly what you say, that they don't do Amr bil Ma'ruf, they don't do, and they are caught in such a situation. Magic never works on a strong believer, never. It's only works on people with weak faith and such things. It works on them. So you may say, although I don't put blame on them, because this is just animosity, this is just hatred. But In the same way, you can say the same thing about it. However, you see, Allah has created Iblis, and Iblis is doing lots of mischief in this world, isn't it? But he gave him free will, and he is not going to stop the creation moving until the set time for it, okay? And anyone who wants to follow Iblis, they follow, they bring harm on others and everything, but Allah would not stop it and let it go until... Oh, you tell me, what was the, for example, the sin of Habil when he was killed by Qabil? No, he had no sin at all. Even he said, I will not defend myself, you want to kill me. And but he was killed, and Allah allows it. Why? Because he, this is the way the world should be until comes the day for justice. It's not justice yet here. Until comes the day for justice, then everything is set right, inshallah.
So when we're told that some of the means we have maybe to protect ourselves from this is like Ayatul Kursi or Taweez, are these, you accept this is something?
Yeah, they work provided there is faith. If there's no faith, they don't work. You see? It's just like magic. If you don't have that, those self-mortifications, those incantations won't work, you see? On this side as well, if you have faith, these things work. If you don't have less faith, they sometimes work, sometimes they don't work, you know? Yeah.
Okay, thanks for the Sheikh and everybody. Do we meet next Sunday or what?
Well, next Sunday is Christmas, or no, just after Christmas. No, next Sunday I'm not out of town anyhow.
Okay.
I'm out of town, yeah.
And then so in the New
Year? Yeah, the following, the I don't know, New Year, would you like to have
the first Sunday of the... Yeah? Yeah, we continue.
We will. Okay.
Yeah, inshallah. Yeah, inshallah. Muhammad wa Ali Muhammad salwa.
Inshallah.